This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your team needs a quarterback, do you want Shedeur Sanders? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, clearly the most polarizing prospect in this draft, Pearl. And it's not just because he's Deion's son. I mean, that's part of it. Of course, there's a lot of confidence there. It's a famous family. But I think it's also the football side of it as well. Okay, you're looking at me funny.
I think it's mostly because it's Deion's son. Do you really think it's the football side of it? Because
Yes. We
would view him totally differently if it was just football. I really think that everything is affected by Deion.
Okay, but here's my thing. I think if Shedeur was coming out and had a season like Jaden Daniels just did when he was at LSU, right, where he won the Heisman and where he, you know, was awesome, or Caleb Williams, where he's been touted as this generational talent going back to when he was in high school, I think that you'd say, I don't care if Deion wants to say whatever. I love this guy's talent so much that I'd be willing to let Deion, he can set up his cameras in the building. Like, I think the talent is the thing in the NFL, and you can tell by how teams give guys second chances when they have questionable things, and not saying that Shedeur has anything questionable. Your team drafting Jalen Carter when he was coming off of some serious legal issues. We give second chances and third chances and more to guys as long as the talent is there. I think it's the combination. It's Deion's son and maybe a wild card of what's Deion going to say about my organization, my coaching staff, if things are bad.
Yeah.
And also, is it worth it? You know, he's being talked about as being a combination of Teddy Bridgewater and Geno Smith. That might not be worth it for me to bring in and all the things that come with Deion.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's a balance.
It's a football thing. That's why I think it's a football thing.
But the reason he's the most polarizing guy in the draft, and you could say that about Travis Hunter too, because of the two position thing. That's polarizing as well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's exciting for Hunter,
right? But it's also polarizing in the sense that people argue a lot about it.
Sure.
I'm not sure Shedeur is polarizing in the way some other guys. I guess people are polarizing for different reasons, but Shedeur did have a great season. It wasn't quite Jaden Daniels, but he had 37 touchdowns and 10 picks at Colorado,
who was
awful. A lot of that had to do with Travis Hunter and Wester and all these, the talent he had around him. But I do think he had a good season. I just think it's very interesting because there's such a thin margin between all these quarterbacks. There were six quarterbacks in last year's first round. They're all pretty close in talent level.
Yeah.
They're not that far away. So I think you're looking at quote-unquote intangibles. I think it's a big deal, especially a quarterback. It's not like a pass rusher. A pass rusher just goes after the other quarterback. The quarterback touches the ball every play, affects every player around him, has to have chemistry, has to be a leader. So I don't think I don't think you can separate the two. And at the end of the day, I really do think that Shador is not quite good enough to bring any quote-unquote other issues to the table. He's just not big enough. His arm is not good enough. If he was better, if he was Drake May, for example, then I think that he could have a little bit of extra with Deion. But he's just not quite that good.
Excuse me, 855-212-4227. Because there's some stuff that's now coming out about Shador and how he may have, you know, been perceived in some of these one-on-one interviews at the scouting combine. And some of this is courtesy of Todd McShay. So play this for you. He talked to two teams in the top 10, or drafting in the top 10. And Manny, let's play cut four. Two of them said they thought that Shador was unserious.
One person that I talked to said... the best way I can describe it is it just wasn't a professional approach. Shador Sanders did not take a professional approach to this interview. The other person I talked to said he wasn't taking it seriously at all. I didn't get the sense that he was taking it seriously.
Okay, well, because nothing maybe is ever as it seems, especially when we talk about the scouting combine and all the, you know, subterfuge and all the, you know, smoke screens and stuff like that, well, it can work both ways. Sometimes the teams can sort of talk up or talk down a prospect because they want to manipulate where the person goes. And in some very specific instances, the prospect might be able to manipulate where they want to go. And Perloff, a lot of people think that this was a work by Shador Sanders, that he already knows where he's going, or they already have a preference of where they want to go. We talked to Chris Trapassos, covers the draft for CBS Sports. He's on board with this theory that they already know where Shador's going, so he sort of mailed in these interviews and kind of downplayed, didn't really pump up the charisma, didn't pump up, you know, himself, and it came off as unprofessional because he's already got a team in mind.
Yeah, I do think... If this is true, is this a bad strategy? Because I'm looking at the teams in the top 10. I can see a player not wanting to go to a lot of these teams, especially a quarterback. Tennessee, number one, their offense was not good last year. And their management and their ownership has been all over the place the last several years. You could avoid that. Cleveland, we know all about their history, factory sadness, and even worse recently. The Giants have been really bad for a long time. They do not have a great offensive line. I would mail that interview in. Then you got Las Vegas, he seems to like. The Jets have had a lot of issues. The Saints have a ton of salary cap issues and not a lot of talent.
Yep.
There's a compelling reason to mail in these interviews, Maggie. Like, if he is doing work, I'm not sure I blame him.
Okay, but then I ask you, is it sound, though, to say, all right, I want to get myself to the Raiders? I mean, I trust Pete Carroll, so maybe things are better, and I'm bullish on Tom Brady. You rightly point out he's never done anything as far as team building before in this capacity. What makes us think it's going to work? So you might, like, careful what you wish for. You go to the Raiders, Mark Davis is still the owner. You go to the Cowboys, Jerry Jones is still the owner. And I know he didn't speak at the combine, which was really shocking that Jerry didn't find a microphone and start blabbing into it. But that's in the anomaly. You know, Jerry will always make it about him.
Well, I think Dallas has had enough success in the last 15 years that Shador would be okay with that. They had 3-12-5 seasons in a row. They're the gold standard compared to the Jets and the Giants. They're in a little better shape. And we're talking about, if you get to Dallas, there's a lot of good things that come with having the star in your helmet. You're instantly one of the biggest stars in the NFL. That's a big deal. 30 million people are watching every game. Now, that's number 12. Is he trying to work himself all the way down to 12, as EJ posited earlier in the show? Now I'm all about this theory. But there's another theory, too, that Dallas really likes Jackson Dart at number 12. But they have so much money invested in Dak Prescott. This whole conversation is ridiculous. Here's another issue. Is it possible that he doesn't go in the whole first round? Geno Smith and Teddy, I believe, both fell. Teddy went 31.
Geno fell.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, had a mock draft last night or yesterday afternoon. He had him at 29, which is almost falling out of the first round. He had the Browns trading back up. I don't know. A lot of draft writers are saying he's not a first-round talent. That is crazy to me because I watched him play at Colorado, but there does seem to be a movement that maybe he'll be there in the second round for all these teams.
Which is really what's odd about that story of he could go as high as 2, or maybe we thought 1 a couple weeks ago.
Geno Smith.
or he could fall out of the first round completely. Yeah, maybe like Geno Smith.
Geno Smith was four in every mock draft.
But the wasn't entire there something about Geno where it was the offense they were running at West Virginia?
Yep.
And thought it was not going to translate to the NFL.
Yep.
Whereas, listen, Shador's got pro coaches all around him. Like, Pat Shermer wasn't a very good NFL coach, but he was a head coach in the NFL. Sorry, Manny. Also a failed Browns head coach, though, so you guys share that with him, the Giants and the Browns.
But guys fall for all different kind of reasons. There's been many, many fallers. Aaron Rodgers, a similar offensive system. The Browns have taken two of them, Brady Quinn and Johnny Manziel. Brady Quinn was supposed to be a top three pick, and he fell to the 20s. So it does happen. I mean, he could easily be that guy this year.
Yeah, it's possible, but I guess I would say I think it's for football reasons, right? I'm not as scared about Deion as maybe other people are.
Yeah, but I don't think it's purely because of football reasons. I think it's also the Deion effect.
I guess the other part is it worth all this? I mean, when we see guys manipulate where they go, and we saw John Elway and Kobe and, you know, like Eli Manning, obviously, who was the number one quarterback in that class, it felt like it was worth it for those teams and for the player to stick their neck out. Are we sure that Shador is going to be good enough to justify this? Like, can his play cash this check that they're writing here about his future?
That's the question I keep asking, because I keep asking myself, if Zach Wilson pulled this, what would I think? Like, Zach Wilson, like, put up amazing numbers at BYU, was the second quarterback, you know, clearly by a lot of the evaluators. Like, if Zach Wilson started, you know, picking and choosing and acting weird in meetings so that he can go to a certain place, like, would I say that he has the game to back it up?
I don't understand, but we all know Zach Wilson was bad, though.
But I'm taking myself out of that. Like, we didn't know he was bad then. He
threw 33 touchdowns, three picks. You're going back in time.
Right, yeah. Like, or Justin Fields did this. Or, like, take any quarterback who's not a clear-cut generational talent and say, if this guy tried to pick where he wanted to go as a QB2 potentially, like, would we accept that?
Well, I think Trevor Lawrence could have done it, and he was a generational talent, but I don't think he had the people around him to do something like that.
I think all those guys, we would say, this guy's a clown. Like, whether that's fair or unfair,
right.
I mean, that's what we would say.
Who does this guy think he is?
Right, exactly.
Well, looking back on it, Caleb Williams should have done that. He really should have said, I don't want to go to Chicago. And he had to refute that immediately. It turned out, because Chicago had Eberflus as a coach and a wonky ownership GM situation, and it's outdoors, Caleb, if he was smart, would have said, send me to Washington at number two.
I think that goes to show how rare this really is, because, again, Trevor Lawrence couldn't do it, and Caleb Williams was also the next generational guy, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, but Shador is incredibly rare. The whole situation around Shador is nothing to do with Zach. Zach Wilson came out of nowhere and was probably thrilled to be drafted. I mean, he had no juice at all before that season. He came, so Shador has been an anomaly since the day he played low-level college football, then went to Colorado, and he's been on TV more than anybody. His dad's Deion Sanders. Of course he's going to be an exception. Why would Shador follow the pattern of any other? Who's like Shador? Name another guy who's had a similar college rise to fame and all this side stuff.
Manziel. But Manziel's not a famous family.
Right, but that's the guy. You're talking about rise to fame out of nowhere. That's the guy.
It feels a little different, though. I see what you're saying.
Right. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, apples for apples completely, but it's extremely similar. Like, came out of nowhere, puts on this incredible season, becomes a celebrity kind of off the field. Like, it is very similar.
The only thing
Johnny
though,
Manziel wasn't everybody's cup of tea.
No, the only thing, though, is that there were signs that Manziel was a huge partier. We get none of that with Shador. He seems like he's hanging out at the house, not hanging out at the club. You know?
Right.
Like, Manziel was everywhere.
And the irony, I pointed this out earlier in the show, Manziel just killed his team interviews. It was amazing in all these combine interviews, everyone said. He could turn it on when he wanted to. That's okay, but it still doesn't really sum up what Shador is.
No,
because
Arch
of the Deion
would be
factor.
Shador. It's like Arch. But Arch, I think, is, you know, Arch was also a 5-star. Shador, I think, was a 4-star. I will see, you know, what Arch does with Texas this year. They're going to have a ton of pressure on them. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe it's a combination of Arch and Johnny Manziel.
Maybe, yeah. Hopefully none of the off-the-field stuff with Manziel.
Right, we didn't know.
Like Maggie said, like, there's no indication of that with Shador at all.
But Manziel, he had the arrest for, what was it, like public intoxication or urinating somewhere outside.
But they both do have the look at me, material kind of positioning themselves. Look at this car.
Yeah, the money sign for Manziel, the watch for Shador.
Look at this house I have.
Like Shador's logo is a S with dollar signs.
Right. Like that is like that for them. They're exactly the same in that regard.
I was at the Super Bowl media day, and Shador had a set with the gigantic S with dollar signs, and I actually thought coaches aren't going to like that. I think I said that to you. There's no way.
Yeah,
this is not typical.
But here's the thing. Travis Hunter also had the same thing, and nobody cares.
I didn't see a Travis Hunter set.
He had to hit his Travis Hunter podcast. That's what Cam Newton went on and said, I walked into a locker room of losers. Remember that? And it went viral, and Steve Smith got mad at him.
No.
That was said on Travis Hunter's show. And because Travis is so good and the talent's there, teams just look the other way.
I saw gigantic Shador signs. I didn't see any Travis Hunter signs.
They were there.
Yeah, he had a podcast set there.
Was it as big as Shador's?
It was right next to Shador's.
Yeah.
Okay.
A combined set. I don't know, but he was there and his sign.
Well, I saw Travis went on Shador's right in front of us that day. But yeah, I mean, also the thing is, Travis is not a quarterback, so it's such a different thing. Like
that,
nobody cares what the personality of a cornerback / wide receiver is.
I think that's a huge thing, right? Because I think, like, you know, I'm thinking about even in New York with Sauce Gardner. Like, Sauce could have the grills, he could have the sauce chain, and we look at that and like that's awesome. Like, you kind of want your corner to kind of have that kind of confidence. I guess with quarterback, that's the thing about Shador. Like, and I agree with Pearl from that standpoint. He's kind of one of one. I can't think of any guy playing today that's like him in terms of like who he is off the court, off the field, his personality, the things that he brings to the table.
It's just so funny because Shador is in some ways, you know, he's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, right? Because if he shows confidence, says, hey, I've turned around two different programs, I can help turn you around. People are like, where is this guy getting the confidence from? This is brash, this is arrogant, whatever. But if Travis Hunter says it, you'd be like, I believe that guy.
Well, see, Travis Hunter would never say that, though, because nobody thinks a non-quarterback can turn around a team. Right? That's why we had this argument on the call last night. Travis Hunter can go to the worst team in the league and still be the best player and have an incredible Hall of Fame career because non-quarterbacks aren't judged by wins. It's the only position that you're judged by wins and losses. Micah Parsons, for example, hasn't won anything in Dallas, and he's headed straight to the Hall of Fame.
Myles Garrett hasn't won anything, and he's about to get paid massively and probably go to a team that does want to win.
Well, this was a question I asked, which is if Shador was falling in these mock drafts and say he ends up going later in the first round, but actually to a better team than Travis Hunter goes to. I said, is it possible that Shador has a better career than Travis Hunter? But it depends how you define career. If it's just Joe Thomas and he's out there being a Hall of Famer and they're winning two games or zero games, but you know how good he is, that's one thing. But Shador could end up on a team that's good and he could win two Super Bowls and be thought of as maybe the better. Like if you did the poll question, who would you rather be, the guy with no rings who walks in the Hall of Fame or the guy with two rings? A lot of people would say the rings.
Right, but I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. But Joe Thomas had a great career, was first ballot Hall of Famer. Has he been in the Hall of Fame yet? Or I feel like he will be. I don't know if he is yet.
But they won. He never played did he even play a playoff game? Like,
I don't think he did.
No.
But who's the left tackle who won a bunch of Super Bowls on the Patriots? Well,
would you rather be Nate Solder or someone like that who's won rings?
Yeah, who is maybe somewhat disappointed because he was a first-round pick, as I recall. But generally, right, I'd almost rather be Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is the one who gets the TV gig. Joe Thomas is the one who gets the yellow jacket. So I think if you ask the question, which guy is more likely to be a Hall of Famer, that's why, for me, it's Travis Hunter.
Well,
by
that would
mile.
Be Travis, but I think there are a lot of people out there who would rather have the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
This is like Cam Newton said, I wouldn't trade my MVP for a Super Bowl win, and how many people got mad at him for saying that?
But that's because he's a quarterback, and I think it's different for different positions. Also, I have so much faith in Travis Hunter. I'm just so over the moon on this guy.
Yeah.
Guy plays cornerback and wide receiver. How's the team not going to be good? You have the best. He's filling in half your roster. He's going to win, Maggie. We don't have to worry about this. He is not going to be a loser in the NFL.
Joe Thomas, 6-time All-Pro, never played in a playoff game. 10-time Pro Bowler. And is a Hall of Fame, by the way.
Yeah.
Did that team, the team never made the playoffs? Or he was hurt?
No. They won 10 games one year, but they did not make the playoffs.
The Derek Anderson year,
he was they had a drought from 2002 to 2020 where they didn't make the playoffs.
His last years in the NFL, he lost 16 games, and the year before that, lost 15 games.
I mean, you're telling me you think Travis Hunter can turn that around? The jaws of life couldn't get the Cleveland Browns out of this muck.
I feel like they've knocked on the. I can't agree with Pro. I feel like they've knocked on the door of being a good team a lot more than like the Jets have, for example. Like, They've made the playoffs. They've had other guys besides Deshaun Watson go on there and actually do some things. Baker Mayfield did. We saw Joe Flacco did. Like, it's just they can't seem to consistently put it together. That's their problem.
855-212-4227. If your team needs a quarterback, would you like them to draft Shedeur Sanders?
Joe Flacco?
Tell us what you think. Again, 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on Shedeur Sanders and everything that comes with Shedeur Sanders. Could be Dion pointing out your flaws. No, I don't know. Maybe Dion wants to coach the team someday.
Maybe.
Actually, they asked Shedeur, you know, your dad has coached you your whole life. Like, would you want him to coach you in the pros? And he just said, God's plan. Jerry Jones or Jerry's plan.
I was talking to Manny about this. I love my dad. I never want him to be my boss.
I think that it's like I was wondering, maybe Shedeur's looking forward to having a different coach.
Like, to me,
there's a possibility.
It's one of those things that you may like as like a 20-something year old. That's why I can't believe Jalen Brunson seems to enjoy it so much. I don't really understand that. When you become an actual adult, like, I don't know. I think I wouldn't want my mom or my dad to be my
You
boss.
Weren't going into the family business?
No.
See, there's good and bad. Like,
I gotta have a separate life from that. It can't be 24/7 of that.
Yeah, but a lot of star players had their dad as a coach. Jalen Hurts' dad was famously his coach.
Oh, I mean, as a pro, that's what I mean. I'm talking about. That's what I mean as a grown adult. When you're high school, like, you know, there's only so much you're doing. Like, it's a pro. You want to go out to the club. You want to do whatever. Like, you know, you got the coach being like, hey, you're watching film. Like, I don't know. I don't need that.
I think that's a real life thing. That's not just football. I mean, how many people go into their parents' business? And I think you know, the family business. And I think it depends on what kind of relationship you have. If it's a good relationship, it might continue to be good. And if it's a fractured one, it'll probably be more fractured.
Shedeur's already 23. He's already gone through this. Like, I'm sure there's no curfew anymore for Shedeur at his house, I would hope.
I don't think he leaves his house.
Well, I don't know about that. But I generally think he's figured this out with Dion because they did it in college. He's following him around. I think it could work in the NFL. If he goes to Tennessee, for example, I don't think that's going to happen. You don't think Dion's coaching there in 2 years? I think it's very possible.
It's possible. 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think about Shedeur Sanders. There's an important deadline today in the NFL. I think one team is handling this horribly. I don't get it. And I feel like we're not talking about it enough because it seems silly. Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Hey, do you guys want a killer NFL trivia question real fast?
Yeah, go.
So I don't think Dion ever lined up a quarterback, did he? Can we find that out? There have only been 6 times in NFL history where there was a father-son combo at quarterback, where both the father and the son played NFL quarterback.
Not at the same time, obviously. It's not a Bronny, Braun, Griffey's. No, nothing like that.
I don't think so.
No.
That would be something. Can you see how many of the 6 we can get as a group?
Well, some Archie has Peyton and Eli.
Right.
So does that count for 1 or 2?
That's one. One. So how many fathers? Some of you think for just 2 seconds are pretty obvious. Because we know some of these people.
I missed the question.
How many father-son combos have there been? Both father and son played NFL quarterback.
The Matthews family.
Quarterback. Yeah, and by the way, this is a little dated. There might have been someone drafted or played in the last couple of years.
Chris Sims and Phil Sims.
Yes, Chris and Phil. That's the one that I thought. Matt, too.
And there's 4 more?
There's 4 more. There's one you should know. He's a broadcaster. I'll give you a hint. He just quit his job and no one
Brian
can
Greasy.
No one can figure out why. So the Greasies. And then Charlie Whitehurst's dad was an NFL quarterback. Didn't know that. There's someone named Emery and Kent Nix. As far as I can tell, no relation to Bo Nix. That's an old-timer one. But there's one you guys should have thought of because this was a very influential father who had a lot to say about his son when he got drafted. Although, at the end of the day, it didn't have any impact. He went number 1 overall. He was pretty non-controversial at the time. It was a no-brainer he would go number 1 overall. But his dad always commented on his play.
He went number 1 overall. Dad commented on
Lonzo Ball.
I'll give you another one. He retired a bit earlier than we expected.
Barry Sanders.
Oh, Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
Oh, Oliver did play in the pros, didn't
he? Oliver was, and Oliver was like a Manning or a Sanders. He was big time influencer. I don't know if he wanted Andrew Luck to go to Indianapolis. I don't even know how he got on this. It was something to do with, will Dion force Shador to a certain place? I think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge deal that Dion has all this experience, all this connection. The dude is a coach. He's obviously going to leave Colorado at some point. I'm not drafting him. I mean, if I'm a coach, I want nothing to do with this, the more I think about it.
It's just kind of interesting, like, if this could really be this sort of long-term play. I mean, it's kind of brilliant from the Sanders family, if this is indeed the thing, which is get Shador somewhere, and then in a year or two, get Dion there, and the coaching salaries. Now, I know Dion's made a ton of money, but the coaching salaries in the NFL now are gigantic, and not that they aren't in college, but you don't have any boosters you have to deal with or making phone calls to rich people. You can just, you know, like, look what Mark Davis did for John Gruden. He gave him $100 million. Dion might be able to get something like that out of Mark Davis.
Well, college, one thing about college, Dion's different. You have a lot of longevity. You can stay at a college a little longer. NFL, you get fired quicker, I would think.
Yeah, but Gruden signed a 10-year deal with the Raiders, and they didn't even want to fire him after the first emails came out. It took a whole other trove of emails to come out for them to finally say, all right, I guess you can't coach the team anymore.
But that wasn't that the biggest contract ever?
Yeah.
$100 million.
Why wouldn't Dion get that?
Oh, I don't know. I thought the Gruden thing was just idiocy by the Raiders, to be totally honest.
Definitely.
But I think Dion would get a, I don't think it's about the money. I think he wants to coach his son,
well,
right?
It could be both. About the money?
I don't know. To say this is a financial play by Dion, that feels like a, your conspiracy bag here a little bit.
No, it's just a little happy accident. You get to coach your son, and NFL coaches are making tons more than they used to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's what it's about. Because if another team offered him the job, would he be as interested? He says, I want to coach my sons. That's the only reason I would go to the NFL. So if
been offered another job yet in the NFL, as far as we know.
So you don't believe him when he says that?
It's not that I don't believe him. It's just I think it's fluid.
That means you don't believe him.
I think he
just
may. Well, all right. I don't believe him. Bogush is here with headlines. Yeah. Hey,
I don't either in that case.
The Vikings have said since their season ended that Sam Darnold deserved to experience free agency, and now it appears they will let him. We're told that the Vikes will not use their franchise tag by this afternoon's deadline, but they do want to keep Darnold if possible.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't understand what the Vikings are doing here. Both of these. Okay, so you're telling me, Stephen A. voice, you're telling me that you actually want to sign Sam Darnold, who's not going to, it's not going to be an insignificant amount of money, right? He played really badly in those last two games, but he's probably getting a 3-year contract. Maybe it's going to look like a 4-year deal, something like $100 million.
Probably.
Okay. So you're going to do that.
Will.
And then you're going to have J.J. McCarthy back there. Unless J.J. McCarthy's knee is being amputated, I don't know why you would do it. And I'm not sure why they're poo-pooing the franchise tag. Because you can sign him for 1 year, $40 million. So you have your backup plan here in case McCarthy is really hurt and isn't bad. No strings attached. Or you could actually trade him on the tag. It doesn't have to be two firsts, by the way, if it's the non-exclusive. It can be whatever you work out with another team. Not to get too in the weeds on the franchise tag.
Yeah, I still think that this is McCarthy's good. They want him to be the quarterback, and they would prefer this to end with somebody overpaying Darnold and then just going, no, we can't do that. And that's not their decision, but it was their decision to begin with.
So you get a third-round comp pick as opposed to maybe you could get something more if you franchise tag him?
I think they're terrified if they franchise tag him, they're going to have to pay that franchise tag. I don't think they want to pay $40.2 million next year.
1 year.
Yeah, I don't think they
want Daniel Jones money.
Well, actually, it was reported that they're afraid nobody would want that trade package, which makes me think Sam Darnold's value is not what I thought it was. I don't think the Vikings want to pay $40 million next year for Sam Darnold. It's a big chunk of cap. They have a lot of guys to pay.
So it's going to be J.J. McCarthy and Daniel Jones?
It's going to be J.J. McCarthy.
Okay, and if he's hurt, because he's already got a knee injury and a setback, so now good luck making the playoffs with Daniel Jones.
I actually think that they might be really interested in some of these older guys. I don't think Daniel Jones. I think where is Daniel Jones most recently?
Browns and Colts.
Yeah, I think they want a Kirk Cousins type. I mean, you can't bring Kirk Cousins back after all that's happened there. But don't you think that's where old quarterbacks go to resuscitate their careers? They could bring in a lot of guys.
Rodgers?
No.
Jimmy G?
Yeah, somebody that doesn't need to play, but is there that they can, by the time they might need him in the
Carson
middle of the
Wentz?
Season.
Yeah. Carson Wentz, though, did you see who he's rumored to be going to?
Browns.
Yep, yeah. Cleveland Browns.
Jameis Winston. I think there are a lot of mid-level. The market's flooded with 30-something-year-old quarterbacks who are totally flawed. Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but you're trying to make the playoffs here.
Yeah, all those guys could get you to the playoffs.
Sam Darnold. Jameis Winston cannot. Jameis is way too erratic.
Sam Darnold just won 14 games.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know if Jameis is but Jameis would be good in that system. Throw into to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison with Kevin O'Connell as your coach.
He's indoors.
Would be my number one choice. But, Russell Wilson, you don't think he can win a bunch of games there? Get you to the playoffs? He got Pittsburgh to the playoffs, and their team has no talent on offense.
Yeah, not to make Kevin O'Connell into this, wizard, but he made Sam Darnold into a 14-win quarterback, potentially worthy of the franchise tag or becoming somebody else's starter. So to shake your head at almost, anybody that would, he can theoretically do this again. There's another Sam Darnold out there that he could make manageable if they needed it because of J.J. McCarthy being off the field. Sam Darnold was, you would have said the same thing about Sam Darnold a year ago. Right. So I don't think we should be so quick to dismiss somebody else coming in and them making that person serviceable if they need him out there.
Okay, but you're also talking about Darnold still in his 20s. I'm no Darnold fan, but that's not Russ. That's not Rodgers.
Right.
That's not Jameis.
I'm not talking about those guys. The conversation is Jameis, Carson Wentz, Garoppolo, that level of guy. A guy who's going to want to play.
Russell Wilson just made the playoffs last year. So why couldn't he do
played
it
half
this
a
year?
Season.
Right, but he was...
And by the way, got staked to a pretty good lead from Justin Fields and lost 5 in a row to end the year. It's not like Russ is coming off some launch pad.
Well, I'm just saying, he can get you the playoffs, for sure.
I don't know, Justin Fields got him halfway to the playoffs, actually.
And that defense.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson was just as good as Fields, probably a little better.
Not against good teams.
Well, Fields wasn't good against good teams either, but... Regardless, he's definitely good enough. And Minnesota's so much better than Pittsburgh. I think Russ would be fine there. All these guys will be fine. You're not going to win the Super Bowl, but this is Minnesota where you win double-digit games and get killed in the first round. Anybody, Kirk Cousins threw for 4,500 yards a year there. You tell me Russ can't do something?
I've got some breaking NFL news. Manny Rodriguez reporting that Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports is reporting that UNC football will not be on off-season Hard Knocks. Talks with HBO have broken down. So that's off the table now, apparently.
Oh, that's a bummer. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry to report.
That, I'm crushed. I was looking forward to seeing the secret sauce here with Belichick and...
You weren't going to see any sauce.
What's interesting is apparently there are some NFL owners who were extremely unhappy with how aggressive Bill Belichick was in pursuing this Hard Knocks opportunity. That's according to Pro Football Talk.
Okay. I know how interested you are in that subject.
But here's the thing. Gosh, NFL owners are the worst. So you're upset with someone else aggressively pursuing this, yet none of your teams actually want to be on this offseason thing. So it's
I really can't control that.
And it's kind of interesting now that I think about it. Doesn't NFL Films still produce Hard Knocks? Why would an NFL entity produce a college football product?
Well, why is that just coming out now? And also, if you don't want Belichick doing it, then put your team up to do it.
What, do they not want Belichick to look good, and therefore they have to explain why he's not their head coach?
So here's what they say. They say, we're told some owners aren't thrilled with the decision to feature Belichick on an NFL-owned platform.
I'll give you one guess who this owner is, and his name rhymes with Robert Schmaft.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Woody.
No, this is Robert Kraft.
Who?
He said, beyond the specific bridges Belichick has already obliterated and the more general attacks on pro football as spearheaded by his consigliere, I can't say that word.
Consigliere.
There you go. Mike Lombardi.
You got to watch The Godfather, man.
I know.
Come on.
Belichick is inching toward persona non grata territory as far as some NFL owners are concerned.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
All right, maybe that is a little Woody Johnson.
But what, again...
And Belichick.
Actually, why did they get it in the first place if all this was going on? Nobody ever thought about that last week?
I mean, apparently he's the person that pushed this. This was not the NFL Films or HBO approaching them. He pursued this opportunity.
And why'd they say yes?
I guess because they thought that
they didn't check.
They didn't think it'd be an issue. They're like, well, no one wants to do it, and we need to make the show, so why not?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I agree with Maggie. I think it's Kraft would be the number one guy who would kibosh that. Why would he want He fired Gerard Mayo last year. What if Vrabel's not good? And then he's got Bill Belichick getting glorified. Because Hard Knocks is a glorifying product. It makes no sense.
Apparently, this pride move flows in terms of the decision to do Hard Knocks initially, stem from a close-knit relationship between Belichick and NFL Films Vice President Ken Rogers.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, Belichick went and did, like, he won an Emmy, I think, for some of the TV shows they were doing. Gosh, NFL owners are the worst.
Yeah, this is
here's
bad.
The thing. Are they going to hold it against him in any... Okay, so they don't want him to do Hard Knocks because he's fallen out of favor? Is that what Mike Florio's theorizing?
More or less, yeah. That
he's fallen out of favor with a couple.
Yeah, they're annoying him. He's annoying them.
Are they blackballing him from getting back? Do they hold... They have to let him in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. That'd be silly, right? You keep a six-time champion out?
I can't believe I got to defend Bill Belichick, but these owners feeling a certain way about this guy speaking honestly about like what he thinks about teams or draft picks. Maybe it's not honestly. Maybe they feel like he's like, you know,
got an axe to grind.
Saying this about Drake May because he just, you know, got fired. But either way, like that is the corniest move of all time.
Welcome to billionaires.
Yeah, like they suck. Like, I mean, how do you make Bill Belichick look like a sympathetic figure? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Right, but he took his name out way too early of this coaching carousel because he was afraid he wasn't going to get it. You're telling me he couldn't have gotten any of these jobs? One of them?
I think they told him that. Tell him to get lost.
Yeah.
They wouldn't put him on TV. They're not going to hire him as a head coach.
I mean, he circled back around to the Jets. That's desperate, man.
I mean, and this was desperate, was it not? For us to see him being a coach again and go, oh, man, you should coach an NFL team. Isn't that why he wanted this?
Yeah.
Are you telling me Brady wouldn't have hired Belichick at the end of the day if he was going to bring in Pete Carroll? That's drama.
I think so.
I don't know. I feel like Belichick jumped on North Carolina very early.
I think he wanted to avoid the embarrassment of what was about to happen. Because what happened last year to him, I think, was embarrassing. I don't think it was actually that embarrassing. I think he's an older guy, and like, it's the Falcons. Like, they do stupid
stuff. Yeah, they
stuff
do stupid things.
So, but I think for him, it was devastating.
Probably.
Yeah. He's an NFL lifer. He's not a college coach.
Told you everything I know.
Man, so now we just get no offseason Hard Knocks and nobody's going to embarrass themselves by trading away star players?
We did deal with the rest of mankind until last year without offseason Hard Knocks. So I
know, but now I've had a taste.
And it was so good. We got to see the Giants be dummies for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was like every week it got worse and worse.
God, who was the real Hard? It was the Bears last season?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks jumped the shark a long time ago. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's just, it's almost like a tradition at this point.
Right.
What are you going to say? Thanksgiving turkey jumped the shark? Like, it's, you know, it's the sprinklers, the training camp. We're all excited about football. It's just a vibe.
Yeah, but the ratings plummeted at a certain point where they started putting two teams on. I know that was COVID, but I just really think Hard Knocks lost its mojo maybe 15 years ago.
And the in-season one happens without a peep. Like, no one talks about that. None of those clips go viral. Like, nothing comes out of that one where they follow an entire division around for the whole season.
Well, is it always a division or sometimes you do a team?
It was a team. Then it was a division, I think, to lessen the burden on a particular team.
I think they're way more careful about what they put out in season.
But then there's those Amazon shows, too. Remember they followed the Cardinals for a long time?
No, that was Hard Knocks.
Well, that was called All or Nothing, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, they also were an in-season Hard Knocks team. That's why I was...
Pick a more interesting team.
Well, I think the more interesting teams are like saying no thank you.
Yeah, well, it's just the irony is that Belichick stiff-armed Hard Knocks for 20 years.
Day by day.
Yeah. The best one now is this Netflix position by position one.
Wide receiver, quarterback.
Yeah.
But now everybody's so corny because the quarterbacks were great, and then now everybody's like, oh, I don't want to do it. Like... Pat Mahomes won a Super Bowl doing it. Why won't other quarterbacks want to do it? So they had to go to receiver, which was also cool, but...
It was okay. And then they went to the NBA, and we learned the most important thing about the show, that Jimmy Butler had his own barista in his house.
Yeah, apparently he's also stiffing the owner of that apartment on rent.
Listen, if you had $120,000 worth of rent to pay every month, sometimes you don't got it, Maggie.
Something tells me about Jimmy Butler's holding. He just doesn't want to.
Maybe Butler's one of those guys that has like lions and elephants a pet shark. Like he just is just burning money.
Well, was it $100,000 in damages, right?
$130,000 in damages, $260,000 in 2 months of back rent.
Huge fan of the Backstreet Boys.
Performing nightly, I guess, at Jimmy's house.
Throwing a party.
Damn right.
Man. Meanwhile, the Warriors are freaking awesome with Jimmy Butler.
Won again last night.
What is it, 8-1 now with him?
Or more. I know they've won 6 of their last 7, but I don't know the full Butler record.
This West is getting very interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then there's the Mavericks, who are doing something.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Unconscionable. We'll tell you what it is next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, M&P on the Infinity Sports Network. Get to the Mavericks in just a moment because I don't think shame really exists in that organization, clearly, with what they're doing to their fans right now. But can I put out a personal gripe for a second?
Sure.
I've been telling you guys and anybody that'll listen to me, the heating in our upstairs, we have two floors in our house, the heating upstairs is just went kaput. And it just so happened that the temperatures plummeted to like 19 degrees the other night.
Okay.
So it's just been, I feel like I'm living like a log cabin lifestyle. Like this is as close, I'm not a camper. This is as close as I feel like I've been to like a little house on the prairie situation. Like my kid has to have like all these extra comforters on top of them because it's like, it's freezing cold in our house. This has just been rough. And I feel like I'm not getting the proper sympathy from you. EJ's been okay. Manny, no.
Mm.
Like, you guys aren't feeling bad enough for me about this.
What happened?
Yeah, thank you.
What's worse, this or when that waiter didn't write your order down, which that seemed to deeply affect you?
That did impact me because that was really avoidable. The waiter was heat checking like Steph Curry from the midcourt, and he could have just written everything down, and then I would have gotten my Caesar salad.
look more like Seth Curry than Steph Curry.
Yeah, right. Is there another Curry brother, like even worse?
What's worse?
Riley Curry.
Mark Curry.
When it's 90 degrees and your air conditioner breaks, or when it's cold and your heat breaks. Because personally, you can always put on a blanket. I hate when it's super hot and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that is all personal preference because I can't sleep in either extremes.
You can't sleep in the cold? Just put on more blankets.
No, I know, but like it still wakes me up. And I would much rather be hot than cold in my life. So I'd rather sleep with no air conditioning than no heat.
I would definitely take... No heat seems extreme, but I would definitely take cold over hot. I can't sleep when it's 85 degrees out and there's no AC. I read a story that global warming is going to massively affect the sleep of the entire world.
Is that right?
Because hot sleep is a bad thing.
It's bad sleep. I get that. And I know that experts will say, oh, you should like lower the temperature to be sleeping in like a cooler, dark room anyway. But guys, it was like 63.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm the opposite.
You like hot?
Super cold. I hate both, but super cold is the one I can't do. I can't fall asleep if I'm that cold.
My wife sets the air conditioning all the time in 58 if she can. She likes
my goodness.
Freezing cold.
58? It's a meat locker.
Might as well sleep outside.
You guys are familiar that I went to school out in Western New York?
Yeah.
I had the window open every single day when I went to go to sleep. It doesn't matter if it was September. Didn't matter if it was January. The window's open.
Cold.
Cold, please.
I sometimes go to...
You're a savage.
I remember one time I woke up and because I was cold, obviously, and I woke up and I'm cold. But when I released that breath of air, I saw my breath in my room.
It was just like a snow pile next to your window. That's
I'm pretty
crazy.
Sure it was snowing that day. Yes.
Maybe you would have been a good like settler. You know, like I know I would have been bad on the frontier.
Yeah. Why? Well, go ahead.
You know, because you can sleep in the cold. Pearl off.
I don't think Manny'd be a good seller, but
I agree.
Know what I do? I wear sweatpants and a sweatshirt to bed to match my wife all the time.
Wow. With the hood up.
Sometimes the hood up, but I love it. I do sleep better. My daughter, we have two kids and one likes it warm. One likes it cold. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. This is rough. We got to get this thing fixed.
That being said, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's kind of probably your son likes this in a way. It's like an adventure. Is he complaining?
No, he's not complaining. I mean, kids are resilient. Yeah. It's just me worried about him. And I don't like to be inconvenienced. And I feel like nobody's giving me the proper sympathy. So thanks for nothing.
I mean, I've been...
You've been good, EJ. I know.
I do terrible with colds. Every time you tell me the story, I'm like, this would be my worst nightmare. I'd be in a hotel in debt.
I was thinking about it. So we've had to crank up the first floor to like 75 degrees so that the heat will rise. It's not working. Okay, so the Dallas Mavericks. They had the... terrible idea to trade Luka Doncic, Pearl. I think we've properly dunked all over that. It's been awful. And right away, it's been terrible. Anthony Davis got hurt in the first game he played with the Mavs, and Kyrie Irving got hurt last night. That has not stopped this new Mavericks ownership from deciding to raise ticket prices 8.6%, claiming that they need to invest in the team.
Don't even say it, man.
I mean, how do you possibly justify this? I guess you're just banking on the fact that people like the status quo of having season tickets, because I don't know why anyone would buy tickets to your franchise now.
Well, yeah, but the market will determine this. If they want to raise them, people just don't have to buy them, and I bet you that's exactly what's going to happen. So this will all work itself out just fine. Actually, Dallas, this is all working out beautifully. Do you know that they're in the lottery now and that they could fall pretty low in the lottery? They actually, maybe they were tanking this whole time and we didn't realize it.
It's kind of odd move for a team that was in the finals last year.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I honestly didn't think they were. I think last year's playoffs was a stroke of luck that it just sort of happened to fall the right way. They got the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. T-Wolves shouldn't have been there. And then the Celtics just destroyed them. Did that look close to a title to you?
It did not, but again, like I think the full tank is when you're closer to the bottom than you are to competing. Like this is not how this is supposed to work.
Yeah, I think they took a big risk with Anthony Davis. It failed immediately and quickly, and now they know Kyrie Irving is probably going to have some health issues and he's on the brink of a big contract. At least they're not in NBA limbo, Maggie. That's the worst place to be. I'm trying to defend this.
Yeah, good luck.
So they sit at number 13 in the draft right now. They have a good chance of moving up to number 10, which will give him a 4.5% chance to get number one overall. So Cooper Flagg at the end of the day would make it worth it.
That doesn't seem fair. Imagine getting this because ongoing investments in the team and fan engagement. I better get to go out on the court and shoot a three-pointer if you're asking me to sign up for season tickets after trading the best player away. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Widow's Coffee Drinkers. See you tomorrow.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.